Hell yeah, welcome to Morning Skate. You got your host, Ked, joined by my co-host, Brownie. We have quite the special guest, Josh Hosang's joining us. Josh, how's everything going, buddy?
Everything's great, man. Just enjoying Atlanta.
Yeah, we spoke offline. You're there for a few days. I thought it was funny. You're like, yeah, we got a morning skate. I'm like, yeah, you do. That's, yeah.
Yeah, we love that game. Exactly.
Yeah, thanks for taking time and joining us, man.
Yeah, for sure.
No, thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate you taking the time to just get to know players and hear our stories. I think it's important that we have the opportunity to express ourselves. So thank you.
Yeah, no, and it's not every day we get to talk to a guy who hell of a hockey player, but also a rapper. And like, we're going to kind of get into all this at some point. You have a lot of things in the fire.
He's a right Renaissance now. Man.
That's what yeah, that's he has that written in the doc actually, but
I didn't want to forget.
Yeah. Get that out of the way early. So Josh, let's talk hockey, man. So how did you get involved with this as a kid? Did your parents play? Did siblings, other family, like what stood out to hockey? Like with you growing up as a kid?
For me, with hockey, I don't know, like, I just love being on the ice and I guess the speed, like that feeling that you get when you kind of take the puck and you start crossing over, you hear the ice, like the way that the skates cut. And for me, like, I just really fell in love with that part of the game, the agility of it, and the just overall pace is so much faster than pretty much any sport. Yeah. And that's kind of what I fell in love with, the decision making, the, you know, quick plays, and then obviously like being able to spend time like with the group of, you know, young boys that I played with between like 10 and 16 was really special. I got the chance to kind of grow with these like individuals, and like at that point in my hockey career, things were like a lot closer, and like everyone was like very focused on like how we can like grow as people, but like also be friends. And so that's like where I really fell in love with hockey.
No, and you mentioned like just walking into the rink and like you kind of hear the skates on the ice. Like every rink has that distinct odor, right? It's almost like therapeutic. The moment you walk into a hockey rink, you're like, okay, for the next however long, I can completely shut everything down and just kind of like really focus on the game. Which, to me, that's always been like my favorite thing about going to hockey. And obviously like the post game beers, but even just like walking into the rink, it's like this is where it's at, right, Brownie?
Yeah, I'm supposed to play tonight, and I messed up my ankle at work, and they're like, "Are you playing?" I'm like, "If I can get my foot in the skate, I'll be there." So yeah, I mean, broken down old men, and I'm still trying. So I get it. Yeah,
yeah, we love the game. We love the game.
Absolutely, and you're born in Toronto, right? So it's probably pretty easy to get into the hockey world, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, Toronto's definitely one of the better hubs for hockey, and you get the opportunity to see some of the best talent in the world. I mean, I was fortunate enough to play with and get some really, really great players who are from Toronto, and I think that that's one of the values of growing up there is, like, you get the opportunity to push yourself against greatness regularly. Mm-hmm. So I am really grateful to the entirety of the hockey community in Toronto, like, that was created by, you know, hard work and good families just leading their kids the right way, right?
Absolutely, man. Do you grow up a Leafs fan?
I mean, here and there. Like, the Leafs were never really – this is no disrespect to them.
No, you're good. You're good.
I'm in Boston, so you can rip on the Leafs as much as you want.
Yeah, no, for me, they were never really good enough for me to be, like, a fan.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't in the playoffs for a majority – when I started like really watching hockey, they weren't necessarily like the team that I focused on. I did spend a lot of time watching like Matt Sundin and Phil Kessel.
Yeah.
But for me, I mean, they weren't my go-to.
Did you ever play out in like Woodbine or Westwood rinks?
Yeah, absolutely. I played all over there.
We have a turn. We have the league I play in has a, if you win your local Boston, Chicago, Detroit, wherever, they have like a national, it's literally like the National Beer League Championship. And it's, we go up there and we play at Woodbine mostly. And it's always on Father's Day weekend. And my very first Father's Day, like, my daughter was born in July. We were up there. So she was like 9 months old, I guess. And I'm in the in Woodbine. We got eliminated. It's 10 a.m. on a Sunday, and we're having poutine and beers. And my buddies is like, "Happy Father's Day." I'm like, "Yep, thanks."
Yeah, that's about as Canadian as it gets.
Yeah, it's a good
ring. Poutine and beer for breakfast. Yeah. Hey, that's crazy. No, that's it's cool that they do that. I've played in a few men's leagues like here and there, and you know the men's leagues in Toronto are what kind of kept me going, actually, like playing here. And the what I've been able to do since I've come back is like a big thanks to those guys, and then obviously a huge thanks to the KHL team that Ufa Salavat that set me up with my surgery. I'm really happy with like where I am right now, and so like I wouldn't have been able to do it without those two groups. And for me, like just being able to skate with great players is fun.
That was actually Brownie politely being like, "Hey, if we need a ringer for the tournament this year, you know where
yeah. Games are at." Yeah, I mean, hopefully I'll still be playing. So
I will say the one thing that stood out to me, like with your social media and different interviews, is I feel like you really have rediscovered your love for hockey in the last few years. And maybe it was a tough go, you know, earlier, obviously, but I really, you, I'm trying to sound like I'm not on your jock when I say this, but you, but it's like, you really seem like in a good, like yin yang, like inner peace, and you seem very happy and like grounded. And I think it's a good accomplishment. I kudos to you is what I'm in a long way trying to say.
Nailed it.
Thank you. Thanks. No, I appreciate that. And honestly, I think that it all starts from, I think, the key is grounded, right? And then it's a lot easier to like navigate everything, like once you can sort of center yourself and like understand like who you are and what makes you tick and the impact that you want to have on the world and how you kind of use I think that one thing that a lot of us get confused with when we're younger is we get told that we need to do things so we can survive, right? So we get told we need to get a job so like you can survive. You need to basically do all of these things that take you very like outside yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that backing it up and taking the opportunity, I'm sorry, people just came over and started talking. No, I think that I'm gonna move.
This is the morning skate difference right here.
Yeah. Well, Josh, we wouldn't have this any other way, dude.
Yeah, this is
so on brand for us.
This is our brand right here, man.
It's absurd. Like you see him on the phone, you see him talking, you come and you speak that loud. Oh, I want to fight you.
You want to know what though? We're grounded, dude. So everything's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, just give me uno memento.
Hey, we're getting a nice tour of the hotel. Oh, the hotel though, it's nice. It looks nice.
The lobby's nice.
Oh, is it the lobby and downstairs? All right. I was like, that's a pretty big room they got you.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting people to come and talk to the lab where I was sitting, but it's okay.
It's awesome.
The first ever interview we have where I was saying Shreds the Mitts in the hotel lobby.
Yeah, exactly.
So the interview was great till Sanger hit eject on the club. And,
you want to go? Yeah, you guys love that.
Thank God we're not live, dude. We're doing good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So let's get back to kind of where we were. Yeah, I mean, for me, like I said, I feel like all these decisions that we kind of have to make are very geared to like, how can we survive? Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, taking a step back and understanding all the elements that are important to like your happiness, not just like financial. And like when you're going through high school, like the focus is so like, what are you going to do for a living? What are you going to do for a living? Right? And so like, it's no surprise to me that we all get pulled in that direction of like financial stability, which is super important, don't get me wrong. But I also think that recognizing that you do things for the love of them and not for the gain, recognizing that you have the opportunity to use things that you love as a vessel for creation. Mm-hmm. And for growth as like an individual, but also to be able, you know, if you're fortunate enough to turn that into a career by pursuing that consistent sort of passion, I think that that's where for some of us, it gets a little bit lost because, you know, when I was on the ice at 12, I didn't care about the NHL. I just wanted to get better. Mm-hmm. Right. And when I was on the ice at 17, that wasn't necessarily the case, right? And when I was on the ice at 19, definitely wasn't the case, right? Yeah. And so you're like, I was working on things to become a million-dollar player. I wasn't working on things because, like, I wanted to be the best hockey player I could be, or so that I could have more fun when I play, you know, just with, like, the things that I can do. And I think that recentering that like focus and just playing for the love of the game and accepting that my game's not perfect and that I want to strive to continue to work on it and that I'm not being forced. I think that it's tough when you're 18. So I guess it starts at 16. You start getting scouted and you start getting told like what you don't have, all the things right. that you like lack as an individual. And I think that that's like really hard because like that sort of puts players in, like, imagine getting put into a box when you're 16. It's like, oh yeah, this guy has no hands. It's like,
yeah. Or like having to pick a college and commit to a college. Yeah. If it's in the US program, it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah, it's exactly. Crazy. It's big decisions. It's a lot of like moving parts. And
it's easier to look back at it now, right? When you're 16 years old, you're really not thinking that. You're thinking, oh, my God, like, let's get my hands good.
What do
like,
I have to do? What do I have to
exactly.
do?
Yeah.
What do I have to do? And it's not just that, but this, like, impending sense of doom that, like, if you don't accomplish this, that you're somehow, like, a failure. It's like right. you're in the top 1% of hockey players if you're playing pro, like, anywhere. Right. Like, right. That's the East Coast or Sweden and you're in that top 1%, and like that's something that you can definitely hang your hat on. But I think even more past that, the reality is when all of us make the decision to play, we all decide we want to play hockey for a living, right? And I think that focusing on that, like, how can I make this like my joy, my vessel, like how can I enhance my life with the game I love. I think that that was an easier place for me to work from rather than like money or like NHL. And everyone's different and everyone has different, I guess, senses of motivation. But for me, this one allowed me to like love myself and like what I was doing through that process. And so that's why I kind of leaned towards it and stuck with it.
Oh, I said it's great to hear you talk about it because it's like how many coaches in your life or in all of our lives that you hear say, well, if you can't do it, I can find 20 guys that can. You know, if you don't want it, yeah. And it's like, what do you, yeah. And I think that way of coaching for the most part is kind of you gotta tailor it to fit the individual and get to know your player as an individual. I think that's a big difference. I think that's a big difference in it for sure.
Yeah, I think that once you get to like the professional level, like once you're like 19, 20, like it's no different than any other kid's introduction into society. Like you're with men and like you, like coaches have 3 years to show something,
yeah,
right? And so it's not just about you, and that's hard to understand because like you come from junior and like everyone's kind of focus is like how can we get him drafted,
yeah,
right? And then you go to the American League and that's not always the focus, right? And so like adjusting to that, like adjusting to the fact that this is the coach's livelihood, this is the GM's livelihood, assistant, right, et cetera. Like it's a lot easier to understand them and understand the pressure that they feel when you like can step outside yourself. But like, no, for me, for my first like 3 years in pro, I was like, just like many guys, you feel like things are going the opposite direction, the current's flowing against you, and like you get frustrated. But looking back, you know, I don't envy these guys and the decisions that they had to make. And one thing, like, yeah, I mean, we all have that coach who doesn't love us, but if For the most part, I can tell you from my experience, coaches don't go into an office and they're like, oh yeah, we're not playing this guy. Like, he's the worst. Like, they never say, they never say that. For them, it's often like hour-long debates, like, and we don't get to see that, right? Right. We just come to the rink for morning skate. You see you're not in the lineup.
Yeah.
And you're like, ah, oh, man, are you kidding me?
Right.
Right? And so, like, I think that I wish that that was shared a little bit more. I wish that the players understood that side, and I wish that it was explained a little bit better, like, mm-hmm. when we got to the pro level, because I do think that helps with, like, understanding and decision-making, and, you know, some decisions hurt your ego less and, like, actually grow your mind more.
Yeah.
And so that's something that, like, I've tried to share, like, with anyone, anybody whose path I cross, especially like if they're not in the NHL and like that's their goal, just like, you know, opening up their eyes to some of the things that like I was closed off to. And I think that at the end of the day, like having that ability to recognize that, you know, things didn't go perfect, but I can grow.
Right.
Like, I think taking that approach will offer you a lot more happiness in your life.
No, and that's actually something to be really proud about too, because I feel like that's a fight or flight thing, man. I feel like not a lot of people have that, like, okay, let's get an approach, let's kind of ground myself. I feel like a lot of people would shut down in a situation like that.
Yep.
So the fact that you were kind of able to like recalibrate and be like, okay, like, I mean, that's something that if you're listening to this podcast and we're talking hockey, but this could be anything, right? Like, this could be any job, this could be any decision in school, it could be literally anything where if things don't go your way, like, okay, like, let's think about this, have a conversation about it, let's, what I can do to get better, how can I enhance my life, all these things, instead of being like, well, you know what, fuck off, dude, I'm done with this, I don't want to, right. Which is something that I would be like, I'm finding very distinct differences between you and I. When you said the whole get scratched, you're like, oh, bummer, I'm thinking what's at the snack bar. So like, this is probably why you made the NHL and I did not.
I did want to ask, as a rookie though, or coming up, I know they have like the symposiums, like, and they give you like the pitfalls to look out for and stuff like that. And they, you know, I know the NFL makes a big deal about broadcasting their rookie symposium, and they talk about like, you know, this, you don't want to spend all your money on cars, and they give them like things to look out for. Is there something in place like that for the NHL players coming in? And if so, do they mention stuff like that? Like, hey, you have to take a step back and kind of recalibrate if you're healthy scratched and find out why, as opposed to reacting.
Yeah. I mean, so I haven't been in the NHL a long time.
No, I know. But when you first broke in.
For me, the last time when I was coming up, no, but from what I've heard, like, teams are trying to be better.
Okay.
And that's all you can ask for.
Right.
Right. Like, yeah, like if the NHL felt the need to step in, they could. It's a $1 billion organization. Right. I'm not going to tell them what to do. Like,
unless they pay.
But,
you
for it. Yeah. Yeah. But no, for me, I think that, like, I've heard that some teams have, like, tried to make changes in that department and, like, educate kids. I think that a lot of that, a lot of the old school, I guess, like, mentality was that, like, you had six veterans, and, like, those veterans would kind of, like, look out for new kids coming in. And I feel like that's a lot of responsibility to put on a 27-year-old, 28-year-old who's also trying to, like, make a living, has two kids at home.
Yeah, young family.
I don't expect them to, like, I thought it was a little bit strange in that regard, that like that weight was put on these individuals. And yeah, okay, maybe they're getting an extra $50,000 a year, but like they're still getting yelled at when they don't play well. So like they have to, you know, focus on their stuff and then work kind of from there to be able to help other people. So yeah, I think, like I said, teams have definitely strived to like make environments more conducive for young kids and like offer outlets and someone to talk to. I know a lot of teams have like hired in-house psychologists and like worked from there. Like, I think stuff like that is super important, because at the end of the day, I don't expect everyone to be like thinking about 20 different things.
Yeah.
Like you, if someone's job at on an NHL team is making sure that the guys get into the hotel, like that's their job. Like, and I'm not necessarily gonna ask that person to do more. Right. Yeah. And so just finding that balance. And I think a lot of it comes from players like who go through it and then like can speak on it after the fact. And that's how some changes get made. But I mean, I've really been proud of the direction that a lot of the athletes outside of hockey have tried to push the game, right? So like, you know, you guys, PK Subban.
Wait, we got to clip that part where you refer to the athletes. So I got to clip.
Yeah, no, but seriously, like you guys are growing the game by like talking about, you know, content and things that we all feel, things that we can like hammer the like button on you that we can't say, right? Like, and I think that that's really attributed to growth. Like social media has been so great for hockey because it's kind of putting players in this position where they got to be a little bit more saucy. Like, I think that it's been cool, like to see that, you know, some of these guys' personalities. And I think that that helps the team in the long run too. Like the more you understand that you're going to have guys cut from different cloths, but like that doesn't mean that they can't come together and achieve greatness. I think it's just about like understanding how to get them to work together. It's interesting to me because, okay, this was, yeah. All right. It's interesting it's interesting to me because when I turned pro, they kept telling me that I took the easy way out, right? They said like that whenever we do drills, they're like, don't take the easy way out. Like, you know, like stop on the line, like go the extra mile, right? But then when it comes to like, you know, managing players and like getting the highest skilled athletes on the planet to like work together, what do? They take the easy way out. and they get a bunch of guys who are like similar personalities or like at least people who like fit into the cog like immediately, right?
Yeah,
I find that intriguing, right? Yeah. And I think, like I said, hockey's continued to try to grow and like we have way more personalities and way more diversity like in locker rooms, and it's been so nice to see, right? And I think a lot of that comes from like players who have experiences like me, players who have experiences like PK, Zegras, you know, guys who come out with like a little bit of different flavor, and people are like, whoa, like that's allowed. and so yeah, I think it's cool. And I think that, like I said, my biggest pride, I guess, is just the way that hockey's continued to grow. And they're trying, you know, a lot of the individuals who watch the game and are surrounded by the game and who work within the National Hockey League, everyone's kind of moving together in unison to like make some changes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we don't really know what those are going to be, but you can tell that, like, you know, they're trying. Like within the structure. And so yeah, my hope is that it continues down that direction and they continue to help players. Like, I don't particularly care if guys make it to the NHL, but I do care if guys are good people.
Yeah.
And to help us become like great individuals and young men, I just hope that as a collective we understand that that job is not done at 18.
Right.
Yeah,
and that's a lot of pressure to put on a kid who can't even drink it in the United States.
And so like I think that just having that like in the back of all of our minds, you know, like when we're watching that 21-year-old who's been playing in the NHL for 2 years, so we forget that he's 21.
Like Lafreniere on the Rangers right now. It took him a few years to get going, and now this year he's awesome. Everybody was calling him a bust last year.
Yeah, like imagine how it feels walking around New York City being told you're a bust.
At 22.
By some guy who's covered in Cheeto dust who was just cut off his couch, right? It was yelling at you that you stuck. Yeah, no.
And now Laf is literally laughing at all the people, but I can't imagine the nights that he had, man. Like the struggle. Struggles and like the text messages and the doubt that he felt. And I mean, fuck, like good for him for being this strong-willed kid to like push through that and say, fuck the noise. Like, I got this. Like, I respect the hell out of that. And Jack Hughes, same thing. Like, came in, like, slow start, came back, said, who's your daddy? Like, you know, like, and for me, those kids, like, they make such a big impact because what they do is they give the next kid a chance.
Yeah, it just opens the door a little wider. Yeah.
I think that that's really, really awesome. And so I'm crazy proud of those two. Like, don't know them at all, but like, as a fan, right? Mm-hmm. To like be on the side of he's not that good to then he's an all-star.
Yeah. By the
it's
same guy.
Cool. It's same cool. It. It's 100%. It's always the same guy. But yeah, no. I mean, for me, like I said, it's been cool.
So you kind of mentioned like veterans a little bit earlier. Did you have like a mentor at all? Like, you were drafted 28 to the Islanders. Did you have like older guys on the team being like, all right, kid, like I got you, or anything along those lines? Did you like throughout your entire pro experience, was there like a few people, maybe somebody that you could call if you're having a tough day? Hey man, talk me off this ledge. I got to talk right now. Kind of a thing like that. Or were you more surrounded by friends and family or whatever it might be?
I mean, I didn't go about things like the best way. I was pretty isolated. Like, it just felt like everything that I said somehow, like,
what's a story?
Back.
Well, the New York Post didn't do you any favors either.
they're fine. I mean, they shouldn't have had that story. Realistically, like, we don't have to let people into the locker rooms. I saw it with Lou Lamoriello, like, what he does and how he protects his players is incredible, right? And yeah, like, you know, people don't get that side. It's like give and take. Like, yeah, right. Lou tells you to shave, but he'd also take a bullet for you.
Right.
You know, like, he's that guy, right? And so, yeah, I think that in terms of vets, like Johnny Boychuk was probably
Johnny Rockets, dude.
Johnny
Rockets. 2011 Stanley Cup champ for the Boston Bruins, Johnny Boychuk.
He was like all time. Yeah. I was so honored to be in his presence, like as an individual, like his joy, his love for just everyone, and his ability to connect with teammates was just like, I mean, you don't win Stanley Cups and have the career right. that he has without that. Right. And so him and Andrew Ladd, I would say probably like, tried to help me the most out of anyone in my pro experience at the American League. I understand, like, it's dog eat dog, so I'm not going to hold anything against anyone there. And
I mean, that's got to be so ultra competitive playing in the American League, right? Like, every single person is just battling as hard as they can for that one spot. Like,
but also trying to play together.
Yeah, I mean, that's a weird balancing act there, right?
Yeah, I think I think it gets weird, like, when guys start getting called up. Like, at the beginning of the year, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But when guys start getting called up and sent down, and that's when it starts to get weird, because guys are like, oh, I did this and I did that.
Competing with your team.
Yeah.
That's tough.
And then that's where it gets weird, because you got guy, you know, goes into the coach's room and he's like, you know, Josh doesn't stretch. How did he get called up? I do all the right things. And it's like, somehow I'm getting thrown under the bus.
Yeah. It's supposed to be a team effort, right? And then you're getting just soiled by your buddy.
And he's complaining. And it's like, oh, you know, like, that's kind of how it is. And like I said, like, I don't fault that guy. Like, he is doing all the right things. But it's like, yeah. And yeah, it's sports. It's sports. Right, like, there's decisions made above all of our pay grades. Like, it don't matter who you are, like, it's made above you. And so I just think understanding that, and this is why it's important to play for the love of the game, right? Because like, you know, it makes it so much easier to like deal with that stuff. Like, I haven't this is like the first time I've played hockey in 3 years where I haven't been wondering if I'm going to get called up, and I love it, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it takes that whole dynamic right out of it.
Oh, like I'm just so focused on like just playing good hockey, you know, like helping the team in any way I can, trying to understand the guys and like connect with everyone. And it's like I don't feel like I'm in a halfway house. It's like it's nice, you know. And I think that obviously I'm very fortunate. We have a unique group of individuals here, and they're all world class. And you know, we get lucky sometimes and we just have that team that is just so awesome. And you know, this team looks like it has the potential to be that, and I'm excited about that. It's my first experience kind of back into hockey. But no, like there's great teammates everywhere you go. There's competitiveness everywhere you go, like, and there's great people. And being able to separate those three things, like someone can be a great person and a horrible teammate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Someone can be a great teammate and a horrible person. Like, those are all elements that like as a pro, like you kind of like, you got to like sift through, right. And like try not to judge people too quickly and take the time to listen and remember that you were there. Right.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
And you guys get good support too. That I saw the clip where they had the news story headlining that you were signing with the Everblades, and I was like, "Oh, that's great support for the East Coast down there."
Yeah, no, for me it's like exciting to grow hockey in like other places, and like I've had fans in the East Coast be like, "I've never seen anyone like you." And I'm like, I get that once in a while. sometimes not always in the best ways, but I get that once in a while.
I'm sure they meant it complimentary.
No, for sure. At least they had smiles on their face, so I'll take it. For me, like it's been really, really cool to like experience hockey, and I know it's like sounds crazy, but I feel like I'm starting on like level one. Yeah. And I'm just like back to junior, like ish mentality where it's like, let's just play and see what happens. Like,
yeah, that's good though. That's healthy.
Yeah, it's cool.
Go ahead, Ked.
Yeah. No, so you're playing in the coast. I wonder, you guys probably don't have any games up here. Adirondack Thunder, do you know if you play them anytime soon?
No, I mean,
maybe playoffs.
We would only play them in the finals. They're on the other side.
Well, hopefully I get to see you up here. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, dude.
That'd be sick. Podcast
mid game.
Yeah, right, dude. I'll just go right down to the bench.
just sit in the penalty box.
You mentioned the KHL. What was that experience like?
My personal experience was wonderful, minus breaking my hand.
Yeah, that could have been.
I can't speak for anyone else, and I think that there's too much of that. For me, the management in Ufa, Salavat, phenomenal. The coach there, Victor Kozlov, phenomenal.
Wait, I know Victor Kozlov. How do I?
Legend.
Yeah.
Same Victor Kozlov, right? Okay, cool.
Yeah. So. He is a legend. The assistant coach there who just passed away, unfortunately.
Sorry.
You know, he was a good man, and he wanted the best for everyone. And he was actually the one who spoke to a lot of the North Americans who were there. And so respect to him and his family and to Ufa.
But have you ever been there before?
I'd never been to Russia before. It was crazy.
Yeah, a little bit different.
Well,
the weather's similar to Toronto,
not
right?
As different as people think. Like, there's parts of Russia that are definitely like the movies, like what you see, you know, like big cold mountains and, you know, not a house in sight. But then, like, there's other parts of Russia that are like bumping, like it's like Munich or Stockholm, like that European-ish design. But honestly, the people in Ufa are like, I don't know if it was just like that or if that's how Russians are, but they're just so wonderful. And Every restaurant I went into, like, the staff was like five star, like
lights out. Oh, I love
lights
that.
Out, and it didn't matter like if it was like six of us or if it was just me eating by myself. Like, they were always like so kind, so grateful for like even us asking like how their day was, you know. Yeah. Like those simple things, you could tell that they appreciated like as a culture. And they have this like stoicism, I think, that gets misunderstood. They just like don't see the point in wasting emotion, like save emotion for like things that are needed. And like that was kind of cool to like experience that. You know, you, like I said, you see it, but you don't necessarily get to live it. And it was nice to, again, have my eyes open to, I understand that there's a lot of chaos that has occurred with Russia over the last couple of years, but and just like historically, but for me, where I think it's cool is like the people have nothing to do with it.
Right.
And so like I met these wonderful, wonderful people who knew I was Canadian and didn't speak a lick of Russian. And they were like, how can we help you? Like, and to see that kindness and to have that like understanding of that, like, sometimes like powerful groups make decisions and that's so separate from the individual. Yeah. And it was, again, like, as you could tell, like, it's very close to home for me too, because it's like, you know, powerful people make decisions, but like that's not necessarily a reflection of like the individual, right? And so like seeing that was really cool. And Russia is cold for sure. I will not take that away from Russia. But the weather's cold, but the people are warm, you know. And
that should be their, that should be their tourism tagline right there.
Yeah. I think you just have to go to the right places for like your first couple experiences, and then like once you make some friends, then like they'll be able to show you the best parts of Russia. Because like I remember when we were in the city and I was like, oh, this place is amazing, and our Captain Gregory Penn and is like, wait till you see this. And like we went like on whatever like 30-minute drive, and like all of a sudden we're in this like backwood lake with like houses and boats, and we could jump off the dock, and I was like, you're having a campfire. I'm like, what is going on right now? And he's like, Russian not so bad, eh? I was like, no, not at all. So I think that if I was a very good hockey player and was looking to go to Russia, that UFA would be my first choice, hands down, because they care.
Huh, that's great. I did read
they paid my,
what's that? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. I was just gonna say, like, they paid my full salary, like, on time. Like, they paid for my surgery, they worked with me through my rehab. Like, a lot of the, I guess, horror stories that you hear, like, I had a fairy tale, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful for them, and that's just who they are. They're, you know, professional.
I read somewhere in researching for you coming on that if you went back to the KHL, you would have to become a Russian citizen. Is that true? Or did I miss that up?
No. So, like, I told, like, UFA paid me like the biggest contract that I had ever received in my professional hockey career. And I only got to play like, I think I played like three preseason games for them and one regular season and like three playoff games. And when I tell you, I felt disgusting taking that money. I felt disgusting. Oh, like, and it's tough because, like, you know, I did get hurt. Like, it wasn't my choice.
Right.
Still, that was like, for me, mentally, that was like a lot. And so I talked to them in the summer, and so I was rehabbing my hand. And I told them if I come back to play hockey this year, like before, I guess, October or November, that I would go, I would potentially like go to them if I felt that Russia was the right place. And so I told them that they should go ahead and sign North Americans, like, don't wait for me. And then it came forward in a news article. I think someone there asked, is Josh coming back? And then the owner said, Yes, he can come back. We would have to get him citizenship.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That was what, like, the, and it just got translated, I think, a little bit funny, which happens. But for me, and that's part of the reason why I didn't really play anywhere until UFA got knocked out of the playoffs. For me, it was just out of respect for them, and I wanted them to know that I really appreciated everything that they did, and it wasn't that like I chose like to go somewhere else instead of like playing for them. I mean, for me, it's just like honor, you know. I respect.
You're a pretty likable guy, man. I don't know much about you, and I was wondering how this was gonna go. I'd hang out with you for sure.
Thanks, boss.
So, music career, like, how did this start? Who were your influences? And actually, question for you. You can answer this later. You're probably gonna need time to take it in. You can throw your own Joshua Sang Palooza, five bands or artists, dead or alive, to play your show. I need that by the end of the podcast. So we'll keep going. But I need to know
five artists
or bands, so dead like, or alive, to play your show.
It's a festival.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Invite all your people.
Oh, we're gonna get people lit.
I'm pumped for this answer at some point. Just so you know.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. What was the first question?
Well, no, so you were saying how'd you get in? Your dad. I know your dad and your uncle. Yeah, if you want to talk about them and their influence.
So yeah, so I like talked a little bit about my like dad in the over the last couple weeks, expressing that like he's just like so talented. My dad was like, yeah, my dad's wicked. I love that man. But he, when I was like, I don't know, anywhere between like 9 and 12, I went to go see him at this show, and he, like, I walked in with my dad, and like I turned around, and then like this guy was on stage, and like I knew why we were there, but like, you know, when you're a kid and you're like toys, car, like you just don't care. And so like, I turn around, and my dad's like on stage, and he's just he's gone nuts. Like, it's, he's like, he's popping off, and like people are like feeling it, and I'm like, yo, like, what the heck, like, this is my dad, like, what are you guys doing? Like,
the guy yelled at me for leaving my gear in the driveway.
I was like don't cheer for him, like. I mean, for me, like, it was really special to witness his greatness, like, musically. I'm really happy I got to see that, like, performance. And then, like, around the house, like, he sings all the time. He's a potato. He's always singing, like, new songs that come on the radio and stuff, and he does, like, his own renditions. He's just, like, wicked talented. So, like, for me, like, I always had music kind of going in my house, and so that definitely played an impact, and just his talent, you know, made me feel like it was potential that I had some, right? Yeah. And so I, you know, was messing around with music now and again, and then I remember we were in Niagara, and I was playing music, and like for the boys in the car, and I had a couple of instrumentals that were just like left over from just like stuff that I downloaded. I was kind of like rapping over it, and the guys asked me to freestyle, and so I did. And this is when I was like, I would have been like 18, turning 19. This is like after I just got sent back from New York, like for being late and like all that stuff. And so, like, you know, I remember being so embarrassed in Windsor, and just like, I remember feeling like everyone's eyes were like on me, and just so judged, like, you know, these people who had like been really, really supporting of me, like, kind of were like, how could you do that, like, without like saying it to me. And then I remember I got traded to Niagara, and like that weight just got like lifted off my shoulders.
Fresh start, and, like,
well, it wasn't even the fresh start, to be honest. It was just like the reaction that this team like gave me when I came in. Like, they were all like, they're all like, oh, we're so happy, like, you're here, dude. And like, guys wanted to get to know me. And like, I was like, whoa, like, it's like, you know, this is why kindness is so important. He's like, they had no idea that like I was like destroyed on the inside at that time. Yeah. But like, They saved me and like they hung out with me. I remember my first day there. Vince Dunn like took me in his car, and this is before Vince Dunn was Vince Dunn. This is when he was just like a rookie defenseman. Like that's like this character, And like, yeah, I remember him taking me in the car, and he's like, "Yeah, let me show you around Niagara." And like, it's just like, what a guy, And like, that's my first day there, right? And I didn't know he was going to make it to the NHL at the time. I hadn't seen him play, but he definitely had an NHL personality.
Is Vince Dunn the guy that got in a fight in the walkway, like getting off the ice?
I think he's the best defenseman on Seattle, like personally. Obviously, that
no, he wheels.
To debate for everyone, but I think he's probably one of the most underrated defensemen in the NHL. I am biased. I have lots of love for Vince, but trust me, watch this guy play. He's awesome. But yeah, so like just through those interactions, like I said, like this beat kind of came on and the boys were like, oh, like let it play. And they're like, and then like one guy like kind of like started like doing stuff, and then like another guy, and then like I came in and they were like,
what just happened?
Like what? I was like, I mess around with it sometimes. And they're like more. So then I put on another beat and I did it again. And then, I don't know. Like the boys just love to win. I would do it like once or twice a week and just like freestyle, and like they would hear a song that they liked and they'd be like, freestyle over this beat, and I'm like, okay, like. And no, so like they kind of encouraged me with like just their kindness and just like their reactions, right? Like they encouraged me to just kind of keep pursuing it. And so then I remember like I wrote a couple songs here and there and they liked those. And then I like that summer, it just kind of, I dove into it a little bit more. And then I stopped writing when I went to the A, because again, like we were talking about before, it's just like so fixated on like hockey. And the NHL is the answer, I guess, to my like sorrow, right? And then, through my experiences there, getting there, playing well, and then falling out of there again and playing in the whole process. I started going to therapy, and then my therapist told me to write music. I told her that I used to do it, and she recommended that I write it to like see how I feel. She said like that's why like a lot of therapists will recommend journaling. I think like poems are kind of fun because like they're phonetic and you can like rhyme. And what happens when you like rhyme in a phonetic way, like your subconscious takes over, right? It's just pulling, like the first thing is that come to your mind, like in terms of like connection, right? And so it's a really, really cool way to like see like what's going on in your mind. Like if death keeps coming forward, like you need to deal with that. Like if getting older or some of these rappers I hear, like they talk about weed and alcohol and like cough syrup every song. And I'm like, you need a therapist. Like, I was like, like one song, it's like, okay, like this crazy night with the boys, like,
yeah, party song.
To each is their own, right?
Yeah.
But to me, when it's like the full album, I'm like, man, what are your days like?
Mostly sleeping.
Mostly sleeping, I guess, right? And so and then like connecting to that, I just felt like a lot of music was like empty, and a lot of it was very like jaded. It was very like, look what I have and you don't. Like, and people wanted to listen to that. I wanted to listen to that, right? And then you start realizing that like you guys are kind of just making fun of me all the time. Like, that's what it is. They're like, I got a Rari, you don't. Like, I'll take your girl. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's not really like the most positive things to be hearing on the day to day. Right. Yeah. And so I thought it would be cool if I could restructure like my own music. And I did. And a couple of my friends like heard it and they're like, this is awesome. And then for me, just kind of continuing to write and like find out like more about myself, is really cool. And then I made the app and I needed a way to, promote it without having to spend like millions and millions of dollars. And I knew that I had music that I was really passionate about and that I thought had a really good message. And so I decided to use that as like, basically as my marketing. And from that, you know, I got over 300,000 impressions on like the announcement of the tweet. And I've had, you know, over 15 interviews about like my music and my app. And so it's kind of going as planned.
just like you drew it up, then, right?
yeah. Just like all the X's and O's, right? And for me, like my music's for me. I'm really, really happy that people enjoyed it. And I'm even more happy if someone listens to it, connects with it, and it helps them. Or just makes them feel not alone. Like, to me, that's what my favorite artists have given to me. Like, those 3 minutes of silence.
Yeah.
Like, and if I could give someone 3 minutes of silence, amazing. If I could give them 42, even better, right? And so, like, I just thought it was a cool way to give... and if people want more, there's more stuff like that.
I do have some questions because we talked to plenty of hockey players, but I don't get to talk to many rappers. So I do want to ask. So in the movies, this just popped into my head. This is going to sound insane.
Oh boy.
But in the movies, you know, like it'll be like the Notorious B.I.G.'s life story, and he's like in the bus scribbling, or like Straight out of Compton, you know, Ice Cube scribbling. Is that, I assume there are people like that, but is that how you feel like when you're writing, like you have it, you just need to get it out on paper?
Oh yeah, it's like a sickness once you start doing it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's really cool. I got rhymes in my head all the time, man.
Really?
Like, but it's nice because if you just listen, there's music around us all the time, like the wind, the trees, the cars, like there's always music. And I just feel like we become very detached like from the world. And I like writing just because it helps me connect with my mind, right? Like I said, like if something's reoccurring, like now, like that's part of the reason why I don't try to stop like the rhyming in my head, because like if a rhyme is reoccurring, I'm like, oh cool, like I gotta identify this, right? Like if I'm, you know, keep saying that they called me lazy, right? Like I need to identify, like I need to deal with that. Like I'm obviously still hurt that people called me lazy, you know? How can I push through that? Maybe it's more action on my side, maybe it's talking to the people who hurt me and letting them know they hurt, like whatever it is, right? Like, and so, yeah, I love it personally. And I think that it's not like, I guess I wouldn't say that it's like constant. Mm-hmm. It's more like, there'll be like 4 hours a day where like,
oh, it's crazy.
Where it's just like rattling in my head. And then like, I'll go 3 days, like won't even hear a rhyme in my head. And then I hear something outside or in my headphones, or someone will say something like, I don't know, like the word toucan, and I'll be like, ooh, I like that word, and then like I'll just like branch out from there.
That's so cool. Are there rappers that you looked at that you were like, oh, that's what I want to do, or that vibe appeals to me? Because I feel so I went down a wormhole with your music the other night, and Ked's going to make fun of me because I'm older. So I'm not a Spotify guy. I go on iTunes. I buy the song. You get all the money, right? Well, not all the money, but yeah.
What a guy, dude.
But that's that. He makes fun of me all the time. Like, I made a Spotify account so I could share a playlist when he was moving. That's it. I don't use it. I listen to my playlist, old school. So the thing about your songs to me, and everyone interprets your art differently, right? But there's not a, it wasn't a consistent, I didn't hear a consistent, that it's not repetitive, if that makes sense. And and the songs elicit different feelings and different emotions and different visuals in your mind. And I really appreciate that. And that's why I was curious, because, I mean, let's not gloss over your dad. Fugitive, it's like a legit reggae band. It's not, he wasn't just going to open mics, right? So, I mean, they're legit. And so I'm curious, because a lot, like, if you, I don't know a lot of newer rappers on, because that mumble rap I can't tolerate. So I just skip over that. But like, you knew when you heard an NWA song, you knew when you heard Public Enemy, they had, or Beastie Boys, they had their sound, right? And yours is a wider range. And that's what, not that you have a wider range than those guys. I don't want to discredit those guys. But I just feel that it's each song with its different uniqueness. Is that because of the reggae influence, because of your sister, because of your experiences, or is it because of different genres that you listened to growing up? I mean, where would you attribute that to? That was the longest question I've ever asked in my life.
No, you're good. I think we can actually double this one up and use my five Joshua Palooza. So I guess I would say, like, the first person, and like, he's probably my biggest influence, is Mac Miller.
Love Mac Miller, dude. Love him.
One thing that I find very, very overlooked about Mac Miller is Mac Miller is the only artist who consistently changed his sound. Like, if you listen to Mac Miller's first album, like, I'm On My Donald Trump, to The Divine Feminine, and to like 2009, like to that the Take Care album, like it like, you're listening to the same person, but like he's exploring his limits as an artist. Like, I think that over his career, he truly, truly tried to make beautiful music. He was
that 2009 song is incredible. Like, when they incredible. What's that desk show that they have where like they play
the desk, tiny desk?
He,
I know.
Dude, and he played and he does, that, and they brought in unbelievable.
It's crazy. What a guy. But I think, like, for me, like, I look at someone like that and I'm just like so impressed, like, where they started and where they finished. And it was unfortunate that he finished, but again, like I said, like the change that he had and his ability to sort of like muster through a lot of the criticism and continue to like explore, like, because I remember he took so much heat after his New Faces album, and he came out with like the Divine Feminine like right after that, and it was like even more like crazy, like in the other direction, and I really respected that, because like for him, he was focused on like making art. I love the Beatles. I think that the Beatles like are just what they were trying to say at the time that they were trying to say it was just incredible. And that's what a lot of people like who listen to the Beatles, where they're like, oh, like they're not like that great, like, 'cause that happens like in the new generation, like. Yeah. It's like, no. Like, A, get older. B, listen.
Oh, it's perspective.
Like, listen, right? Like, listen. Yeah. And I find that they're definitely up there. I won't say that he's in my top five, but I will say that I would get him to play Channel Orange at the Joshua Palooza. Yeah. Is Frank Ocean. I think that Frank Ocean, that particular album might be the greatest album of all time for me personally. Like, his range, his depth, his voice, his writing, his like charisma, the fact that he was proudly gay on that album, like, and it was like at a still at a controversial time, like when he came forward with that, and this guy took over countries that were so homophobic, and he, like, do you know what I mean? And like, they wanted him there, like, and I think that, like, with what he did with his music and some of the barriers that he broke, like, with that, I thought that was just like, that was next level. I love Adele. I think Adele is like, I think she's like, you know, our, I guess, like, I don't even know who to compare her to.
She's like this generation's Barbara Streisand.
She's just like, I could sit and listen to that lady, like, on a sad day, like, any, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
have you heard interviews with her? She's low key, super funny.
She's so funny, and she's so, like, this woman was a single mom who dropped one of the hardest albums ever, then got fit as hell. And like, did her, like, who's your mommy? Like, like, you know, like, she took over. And like, I hope she's happy, like, first and foremost. Like, I hope she made those changes for herself and that, like, she wasn't pressured. But if she did, and like, she's feeling good and like, still like singing like the queen she is, like, to me, I guess I focus more on like projects than artists. And then who? The last person that I would bring out, that's a really, really good question.
It tells you a lot about a person, man. Like, whenever I meet somebody brand new, you ask them that, and you can, like, in my opinion, you can tell a lot.
I think the I think the last person that I would bring in would probably be Method Man.
Nice.
I would bring in Method Man to just be Method Man.
Get the energy going.
I don't care what he's saying.
So whatever, like, you want to do, buddy. Yeah, just give him
Wu-Tang ain't nothing to F with. You know? Like, those guys, like, Method Man's got to be, like, one of the coldest cats out there. Like, people don't understand. Like, this guy, like, his bars are crazy. He wrote for so many people. He's a funny actor.
Yeah.
He came out the hood and he did his thing. Like, I think that all the guys, like, in that cloth, like Ice Cube, you know, like Dr. Dre, like, I got mad love for all those guys, because, like, they made it, and, like, they didn't, they made the choice not to be bitter, you know? Like, I think that that's why I respect them so much.
And, like, without compromising, too. None of them compromised. That's the other takeaway of it.
That's what I'm saying. And so, like, and they made it. And, like, Dr. Dre's not out here saying, you know, F the police. Like, he has every reason to, like, play that song and, like, you know, keep banging it. But he doesn't, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's always chosen to take the high road. I find that all those guys, like I said, Method Man, same thing. Like, Method came from the ghetto. And, like, what did he do? Like, he started doing funny movies like Little Man, and, like, became, like, an actor and an activist and helped grow communities. And I don't know. To me, like, that's way cooler than some of the other stuff that I've seen. I just really respect character, I guess, over the sound per se.
It's funny you say, like, about Method Man, how he's a funny actor, and it's just, it hit me. I have a 7-year-old, so she is like, we'll watch, like, Sing 2 and or Sing whatever, and it's like, you know, U2 heavy and Prince, and she's like, how do you know these songs? And I'm like, well, they're not new songs, first off, but, like, someone to her, she's gonna know Method Man as an actor. She's not going to know him from Wu-Tang. You know what I mean? And it just, like, it just blows my mind when that happens.
I think it's cool, but I think that, you know, it shows you how timeless some of these guys are, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And there's a reason that they survived, because, like, they actually had it the whole time. They didn't need anyone to tell them they had it. Like, they had it. And they were like, I'm just going to follow my path and see where this goes, right? And like I said, I got a lot of respect for, like, those artists. I mean, if there is a Josh Palooza, it would last as long as anyone wanted to perform. So
I'm there, man.
I wouldn't be too picky. I'd have everyone out.
I do like also on your stuff with your acronyms that you use, and I'm guessing that they have meaning to you, like the learning and the, you know, and mm-hmm. So it's, is it safe to say it's almost like a mantra, some of those to you, like a guidepost that you try to adhere to?
I just try to remind people that there's depth to everything.
Oh, right? I like
there's a reason that, to me, I guess like the representation is like the things that go into it, right? So like the reason why I put same as like the album is because I just wanted people to know that like I'm no different than them, mm-hmm. you know? Like I'm human, like I had surgery. I made an app which we all use and interact with every day. I made music. I hope you like it. And emotion, right? Like we're all through those class. We'll all interact with those things throughout our lives. Guaranteed. You guarantee like we'll all have surgery at some point. We'll all have yada, yada, yada. All those things, apps, music, and emotion will all occur. And it is my opportunity to just remind people that we're not so different. I mean, like, I had a guy the other day comment on my Instagram saying, if you just did this and you did that, you'd be in the NHL, you schmuck. And I asked him where I could watch him play hockey because I was like, I want to learn. I said, where do you play? I was like, I want to come see a game so I can learn how to play hockey properly. Right? And it's like, you know, you get, yeah. Like,
that's good.
And you got to stay true to like who you are. And it's like, and I was being genuine. If that guy told me where he played, I would have come. And I was like, yeah.
That'd been awesome. Right, if right? He was like some Dean level bender and you were like, no, yeah, thanks, because, bro. That would have been great.
Because then you get it, right? And so like I just want to show like even that guy, right? Like we're the same. I'm happy to come watch you play, bro, and I'll tell you you're trash, like, you know, like it's like, what are you doing? Like, and so for me, like, just offering that perspective, I think that a lot of us are rightfully consumed in our chaos, but you can free yourself from it by just breathing.
I like that.
Hey, do you know Bo Bennett at all?
Who?
Bo Bennett. He played for the Penguins.
He played a long time. You said
Bo Bennett, and my brain went straight to the ranch. I don't know if you've seen that TV show.
Yeah, he watches that.
Bo,
yeah.
I was like, Bo Bennett?
we had him on the podcast a few years ago, and you guys are like, I put you two in the same room. Kind of,
yeah, he's got an interesting perspective on stuff.
Yeah,
he went through tough times with injuries, and his perspective was very grateful for what he had as opposed to mad over what he missed out on.
Just cool cats, a real
healthy outlook, and you got a very similar vibe, I think.
Very similar vibe to that. This whole time I've been thinking that.
And like, it means meant complimentary.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like that was one of the best interviews we ever had. Like the whole time he's like, "You mind if I pop a bottle of wine?" And dude, we bullshit for like 2 hours. And we just hung out with the guy. And like you have a very similar vibe to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, no, I appreciate that, dude. For me, yeah, I think that a lot of us, as we get older, come to this like perspective to a degree, right? And then it's just about finding ways to enhance like those around you, right? Like, yeah. I think, you know, it's easier to help than it is to judge. And that's where my focus is.
Well, now perfect segue into the Pup app.
Yeah, right? that really was a perfect segue.
That was. You talk about helping people. Like,
thank you. Know,
so pick up Pro Sports on the Apple App Store it's listed as Pup Sports. Yeah.
Yeah.
What possessed you to dive into this? Did you have a background in app design, or was it just like an idea?
I did not have a background in that. I learned a lot, but what possessed me to do this. I just wanted, you know, they tell you when you're growing up, make the world you want to live in, right? And so that would be the easiest way to express it to you guys is, I think that with all the technology and advancements and the comfort that we've sort of developed in terms of like gently interacting with strangers, I just thought it would make the world a better place if when someone had the urge to work out that they could go work out with someone, and if someone had the urge to play soccer that they could go play soccer with someone. And I also wanted to combine that with some of the gifts that I've received as a professional athlete. And so like that's why we offer rewards and like player ratings, because at the end of the day we want to make sure that people are being polite. And you know, the most important rating for us is how you are as a teammate and like how you come in to the event. And the second most important rating is like obviously your performance, no different than anything else. And so by creating this sort of community, this environment where you can build with people to connect with and sort of create your own like happy place. Like to me, whether people are using the app, like let's say you guys met on the app and then you want to schedule your stuff like outside of it, like to me, like we've done our job.
Yeah.
Like I'm so happy about that, right? And if you want to keep using our app because you get sick rewards, which you do, like then it's even better, right? And so for me, I just wanted to, I felt like as a society, we've made it more and more increasingly difficult to play, like just casually and work out casually and to stay fit casually. Like it's hard to do it and manage that and like your schedule. And on top of that, like going back to what we were talking about, like that mindset of, I need to do this, so I have money to survive. We got a lot of people who have to live that way, unfortunately. Right. And so offering them a space where like, hey, like you can work out and get $100 like at the end of the month if you just work out on the app every day, like to Walmart, to Lululemon, like the gas stations. Like now it's like, oh, okay, like I can do this. This is like practical. This makes sense. Like, I'm not just, even though just working out for yourself is incredible, and I recommend that everyone do that. This is just to be able to give them that like extra push, I guess, and that motivation. And for me, in an ideal world, like you'll be able to go from Toronto to New York and have a soccer game already scheduled by the time you land. Right. And you know, being able to create like a little bit of life like that and add this sort of constant activity like in areas, well then I think like we're drawn to, we like running, we like swimming. we pretend we're lazy, but we're really not.
I also, the other part of it that I thought of too, is like someone moves to Florida and they don't have a support network there, and they, you know, they moved and like, hey man, I would love to get into a basketball game or soccer or whatever. This is the perfect way to find a community.
100%. And like for the person who travels for the business trip, right? Yep. Like the old 48-hour business trip, like you're done at 1 o'clock and, or whatever, 6 o'clock, and you're not going to get the flight home. It's like, now you can go play basketball, you can go work out.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side to all of it, like I created a platform where people could basically run their businesses like Uber. So like as a coach, like you go on the platform, if you're hosting a hockey practice, soccer practice, running, golf, skateboarding, whatever you want, you name it, you set the price, you say how many people can come, and then it's up to you to host quality classes and build your clientele.
Right? And then you get the immediate feedback too. I love that part.
You get the immediate feedback. You get paid like weekly, right? It does With our system, you can do taxes and set financial goals. You can keep track of all revenue earned on the platform. So it's like, for me, it's kind of a no-brainer for like ex-athletes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're one of the athletes from like a small town, and you're actually one of the fortunate ones who like made it, then mm-hmm. I feel like what a cool opportunity for you yep. to like be able to host local practices for the two days you're there to see your mom and dad. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think that being able to give back to the world like that is so unique and special. And yeah.
Definitely no, very positive, man. Life's about making memories, and you're definitely helping that out.
It's crazy.
Thank you, dude. Thank you.
You've been on with us for over an hour. I don't know what your time says. We do have a lightning round questions if you want to buzz through those. If you don't have time, yeah. that's fine too.
Nah, yeah? Anyway. Yeah.
All right. These are all over the place, just to warn you. That's the beauty of it. Favorite cartoon character?
Bugs Bunny.
Nice. Would you rather fight a horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses?
Horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses.
All right. What are the favorite and least favorite rinks you've played in?
Favorite rink I've played in?
You can take the Everblade question. Right out of it so you don't annoy anybody.
No, favorite rink I've played in, that's a good question. Honestly, I love the rink in Windsor.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I love that rink.
Nice.
That's probably it. And then least favorite? I don't want to trash anyone.
No, there's that's
good
fine.
There's good fans at both these places. So good job, guys, for making the rink at least tolerable. Springfield and Providence.
Someone else told us Springfield. I don't remember.
Peterborough. Scratch those other two. The corners. If the corners are still the same, I have some serious questions for the Ontario League. I have some serious questions. That is the worst rank. Those boards are not even. They're not even rounded. For sure. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. I remember the first time I was so mad. I was so mad.
Would you rather be able to speak every language in the world or have the ability to talk to animals?
I'll talk to animals.
Nice. If you could live anywhere in the world, where would you choose? Money's no question.
Anywhere in the world? Do I have a lot of money, though?
Yeah. Money's not a problem. Like, you just get to live.
No. Yeah. But, like, do it, like, am I rich right now?
Or sure.
Is it just, like, a property that I own?
No, you don't have any financial concerns. You just get to go there. Oh, yeah.
Honestly, I'd probably stay in my parents' basement. because no, hear me out. For me, my parents live close to my grandparents.
Okay.
And I would get to see my parents every day.
Yeah. Nice.
And I don't know, like, I'm not arrogant enough to think that that's just my reality. I'm so fortunate to like wake up and see them, and so like even just to like be in a space where I could see them, say hi, bye, leave for the day, like I would know that I got to see them that day. It kind of scares me when I'm like not home and like I don't know if like that was the last time like you say goodbye to people.
Yeah, right?
And so like for me, like as long as everyone's around, that's what I would pick.
That's great, dude. That might be the best answer we've gotten. Yeah. Now these look really stupid after that nice thing. What is a skill you don't possess but you would love to master?
Probably Wing Chun.
All right. Yeah?
Do you know that it's like a martial art? It's like, yeah, it's like the best martial art, though. It's like defense. It's like you take their momentum and then like use it against them.
Is that similar to what your brother does?
It is exactly what my brother does, and he does it to me all the time.
But your brother is I have that in here somewhere. I don't want to just gloss over. Team Canada and Team Ontario and Taekwondo. So he's no joke, right?
Nah, my brother was legit, and he went through some health struggles when I was like 20, around 20 years old. Yeah, he was 15, and so he had some health struggles for like 2 years, and he had to stop competing. But let me tell you, this guy's a ninja.
Literally,
And
yeah.
yeah.
Okay, so besides hockey, what pro sport would you pick if you could pick anyone to be successful at?
If I wasn't successful, soccer.
Okay.
If I was successful, tennis.
Nice. Do you tape your stick heel to toe or toe to heel?
I take the middle.
Oh, just the middle?
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, I saw that when I was watching
Like
one of your
that.
highlights.
Yeah.
Would you rather have, this is Ked's favorite one, would you rather have wings, a prehensile tail, or the ability to breathe underwater?
That's a good one. Okay, question about the underwater. Do I get cold? Like, am I just like
I'd
basically
say
like a
no. I don't think
python?
so. I don't
No,
think so.
I would say
I don't think sharks get cold.
well, they only go
Okay,
so temperature.
yeah, but I don't. Yeah. Because I'm just thinking, like, do I get to explore the ocean now that I can
Yeah, I
breathe
would
it?
think so.
Yeah.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, there's way. Yeah, ocean for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
You go to the movies, what's your concession stand order?
I'm a pig.
We
I'm
had one of the
probably going.
Northeastern women on, and she was telling us how she does baked goods before she goes and sneaks them all in. It was hilarious.
Oh, she's a criminal. I love it. No, for me, I definitely, popcorn's an absolute musty. No, I'd probably go like poutine,
Oh,
hot
yeah.
dog.
You can get that up there.
And then
What a spread.
water, so I feel better about myself.
Who would play you, sticking with the movies, who would play you in a movie about your life?
I know the actor too. Don't ask me why I know the actor. My friend asked me this question like a couple of days ago because I love movies. What's his name?
Did you get a chance to see Dune 2?
Dune 2 is so good.
Yeah, it was
So
really good,
good.
man.
The actor that I would personally want to like play me, he was in this movie. If I switch screens, will I be off this? Like if I okay,
No idea.
we'll give this a try. Could you hear me?
We can hear
I
you.
can
You
hear
can't
you.
see it. That's okay.
All
I love that he's looking up the guy.
right.
Oh, I'm not gonna disrespect him.
No,
Lakeith
that's, I said I
Stanfield.
love it. I wasn't being sarcastic. I think it's awesome.
Lakeith Stanfield.
Oh, yeah. He was on Atlanta.
Yes.
Yeah,
Yes.
he's a great actor. Yeah, he's
Yes,
really,
that
really.
would be my guy. 'Cause
Yeah.
I feel like he's got that like kind of
He's
laid
got, I could
back
see your
edge.
vibe there. Yeah, he's very laid back
Yeah.
kind of cat. Yeah, I like
Yeah.
that. That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right, just two more. This is where we go. What do you think happens when you die?
People are gonna think I'm weird if I answer this though, but okay, whatever. It's a little bit abstract. So I think that when you die, that our consciousness returns to the source. I think that we're all just borrowed consciousness, and that the world is like that's why we're all connected, you know, like the trees and the water and everything.
I never
Everything's
thought of it
like
that way. That's interesting. Yeah.
constantly like bouncing off each other. Like the planet is basically one giant ripple, so it makes sense that our consciousness is a ripple too.
I like that.
I
I
like
like
that.
that. And then last one, what do you think most people misunderstand about you?
I don't know. I don't really care.
That's a great answer in itself, right there.
Yeah, to be honest, like at this point, like in my life, I'm not overly concerned. My I guess my goal is to lead with my actions. and to offer communication. So if anyone truly wants to know who I am, then like we can sit down and talk. And if you don't want to sit down and talk, then you're just talking to the wind.
Yeah, that's healthy, man. Oh, I did want to ask too, because I always ask about him, and you're a pro hockey player. You ever have any encounters with Jerome McGinley? You ever meet him?
No, I wish.
I ask everybody because he's my guy. I ask everybody.
No, I've never met Iggy. Yeah, what a guy, what a player. He broke down so many barriers. And,
oh, yeah.
He was actually one of the reasons, like, I got over myself, because I remember at, like, 19, I was like, you know, is this happening because, like, I'm of color? Oh. Seriously, like, we all question this stuff. And then I looked at my posters and, you know, saw Jerome. And it's like, he found a way. So that's not it. Right? Like, whether it is a factor or not, that doesn't matter. He found a way. And so, no, I got big love for Iggy. And just, he played at a time when there was like no minorities, and he wore that for all of us. And then on top of that, you remove the minority, just a hockey player, the way
pound for pound, one of the best players, dude.
Pound for pound, like, they just got gold medal, Olympic gold, like, and people forget about it because they made their pass, but it's like, who's on time, Iggy? Like, yeah. You know, and so, like, for me, like, I just think that, yeah, that's a great summarization of his career, was that goal. Like, there's no one I thought on that team who deserved to score that goal more than him. And I was really happy for him in that moment. And I was also very, very proud, like, as a hockey player, as a Canadian, and as a minority.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was able to do that with his hockey career, I'm sure he's aware, and I'm sure he's been told by many people, but all these, I guess these kids of colors and different ethnicities that you're seeing coming up, just it's important that people who are just tuning into hockey now know that, like, wouldn't have happened without Jerome.
He paved the way, man. And now, yeah. I mean, you he nailed it, dude. Akil Thomas, Quinn Byfield, dude. Quinn Byfield's a star, by the way. Holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you're 6'4", you got nasty handles, and you can skate. Good luck trying to stop.
Yeah, and you can cave anybody's face, and that dude was tough as shit.
This guy's going to be a problem.
This guy, don't go stirring up the brothers.
Well, thank you so much for this. This has been awesome. I knew this. Once I was reading some of your stuff and your Instagram and stuff, I knew that this was going to be how it went. You're an impressive young man. I'm really happy for you and your success, and your attitude's fucking awesome. I really don't know how. I mean, it's a horrible way to say it, but that's the best way to express it, you know? Yeah.
Thank you, dude. I appreciate you guys taking the time. And honestly, thank you for asking me like different questions. I actually enjoyed that, like, the lightning round, and you guys are very thoughtful. And I know that I've been doing a lot of media lately, and so for you guys to come in with like something fresh was really, that's really cool. Nice. So
appreciate that.
Thank you.
And if you're a movie guy and a Beatles guy, have you seen the movie Yesterday?
Absolutely.
All right. Just want to make sure.
I actually thought that was wild. That was such a good concept.
Yeah, it was a great idea.
Yeah.
It got a little dusty when he met John Lennon at the end. I was like, oh, someone's running a fan or something. I got the dust in my eyes here.
but I like that, like, he goes to see what happened to him.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was really cool, and then John was still John and happy, and was just like chilling, enjoying like the beach, and
enjoying his life. Yep.
Enjoying his life, right? And that was really cool. I love movies. But thank you guys so much for your time.
Thank you, Ed.
Thanks, Josh. That's Josh Hossain, guys. Thank you so much, man. And we
number
will
44
to you guys
on your Florida Everblades.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, bud.